Indeed, you rule and you reign in our lives, and you reign forevermore. Have your way in this place.
Amen.
Brood over our hearts.
Amen.
Brood over the atmosphere.
Amen.
Thank you for inhabiting our praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Blessed be your name, O God. We hallow your name. You alone are worthy.
Yes.
Worthy to be praised.
Yes.
Worthy to be honored.
Yes.
Worthy to be blessed.
Yes.
Worthy to be adored.
Yes.
Accept, O Lord, our worship. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for our gathering this morning. Breathe upon us. As we share your word, breathe upon your word. Give it life. Practical application. To everyone present at the sound of my voice. Glorify your name, O God. Do that which you alone can do. Let your word reach us. Let your word come to heal. Let it come to deliver. Let it come to save. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you because you are God. You are incomparable. Lord, we bless you. Accept our thanks, O God. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Hallelujah. That was wonderful. Choir, God bless you. That was inspirational and inspiring. Glory be to God. Amen. Blessed morning, everyone. Welcome to day 342 of the 366 days of this year. December is the stock-taking month and the last lap in the sprint of the year 2024. We are blessed and we thank God to have come this far. As undeserving as we all are, no one of us has gotten here by our strength, by our might, by our wisdom. For lots of people who are much wiser than us have not seen this day. So we thank God for his grace. And I pray that the remaining, is it 23 or 24 days of this year, will deliver into your lives the blessing, the very blessing that is deposited into it specially for you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That blessing that has been specifically deposited into year 2024 for you, I pray it will be delivered to you.
Amen.
It will be delivered to us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May you wake up each day determined to live it circumspectly.
Amen.
Abundantly.
Amen.
And with intentionality.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Such that you can give account of how you made your life count. By making every moment of the remaining part of this year worthwhile. In the name of Jesus. I pray for you the wisdom to spend your most expensive resource. And what is that? Your time. Wisely. So you can be positioned for even a more glorious 2025. In the name of Jesus. Yes, wishing you all a very glorious rest of the year 2024.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I pray you will take one intentional day at a time for the remaining of this year in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
So this morning, the focus of our meditation is on, I have a little bit of difficulty in being able to title it. Because I'm not sure we have enough time for me to be able to exhaust it. So, okay, let me just give you the idea. We're focusing on ingratitude versus gratitude. Ingratitude versus gratitude. We may just be able to just take ingratitude today so that we have an understanding of where we'll be talking about gratitude. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we bless you once again. breathe upon your word, give it life, give it application, give it entrance, O God, into our spirits and our souls. Let your word, O God, help us to navigate life for the remaining part of this year 2024, and help us, O God, to triumphantly, O God, handle the year 2025 to the glory and to the praise of your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So let's begin with the origin of ingratitude. The origin of ingratitude. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. Can you pay attention this morning? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Ingratitude can be defined as forgetfulness of or poor return for kindness that has been received. It can also be described or defined as not appreciating or valuing what you have or what you have been given. Does that make sense? As a matter of fact, unexpressed gratitude is ingratitude. We saw the story of the 10 lepers who were healed, and one came back to Jesus to say, "Thank you." And Jesus said, "Where are the other 9? Do you think for a moment that somebody who was ravaged by leprosy and who was healed by leprosy was not happy that he was healed? Do you think so? Do you know what leprosy is? Leprosy at that time, even today, makes somebody ostracized from society. They live in a colony called leper's colony. They don't mix with the outer or greater society. And we are not told for how long they have been in this state. But we know they were healed, and only one came back to say, "Thank you." And the master himself said, "Where are the other 9? So, the fact that you are grateful but do not express your gratitude can be regarded as ingratitude. So, you are not going to say, "God knows in my heart that I'm grateful." That is not enough. Gratitude must what? Be expressed. It is not hard to trace the origin of ingratitude and its many brothers and sisters, its many siblings, such as pride, such as selfishness, such as greed, such as covetousness, and so on and so forth. These are the things that make us ungrateful. When you are greedy, when you are selfish, when you are covetous, when you are proud, it makes you ungrateful. Ingratitude originated from a creature of God, and I'm sure you all can guess. Ezekiel 28 verse 12 to 15 tells us this creature was made extremely beautiful and useful and put in an exalted position. In fact, let's read it. Ezekiel chapter 28, Let's read from verse 12. Ezekiel 28 from verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. See where gold is amongst all these precious metals. See where gold is. Number 9 or number 10. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now you know who he's talking about. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created. Till when? Till iniquity was found in thee. If you were described like this, if you were created like this, can you see how somebody was created? Eh? With all the precious stones covering him. Diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, gold, and so forth. If you were created like this, will you not be grateful? But the man being described here, who is that? Lucifer. He was not. He was not grateful. Many of us would have adored God to be as beautiful. Not just that he was beautiful, he was useful to God. He occupied an important position in the cabinet of God. You see what's happening in America, people jostling for offices. Jostling for offices. The very first person that he appointed was the chief of staff. He may not be a minister, he may not be anything, but the center of power resides with that person. So imagine the president appoints you to a position where every other person cuts you. They want to see the president, they have to go through you. That was how Lucifer was. So beautiful, so useful, so powerful. But only him did not see it. He only saw what he was not. Does that make sense? What did I say? He only saw what he was not. It has been a problem from foundations of the earth. Adam and Eve, of all of these you can eat, but of this one tree, do not eat. He took his eyes away from all that he could eat and focused on the very one that he was not permitted to eat. Another man in the Bible called Haman, who was like a chief of staff to King Ahasuerus at Xerxes, had so much power. Whenever he's walking, people are prostrating. People are bowing. People are saying, hey, Oga, now you, Biko. Only one man in the whole kingdom was not bowing for him. He took his eyes off every other person and focused on that one man, which brought him down. Ingratitude. There's no record in the Bible of Lucifer ever being thankful or grateful to God. None. He began to think and speak words that reflected his ingratitude. The sin started from where? From within. 2024 is coming to an end. This period of the year is when people take stocks. You are likely to fall into the temptation of what? Ingratitude. When you look at all what God has done, but take your eyes away from it and focus on what you think God has not done. It begins from where? Within. Is somebody listening to me? Lucifer found out too late that ingratitude, or gratitude, is a law. Did you hear me? Is a law. And of these two laws, there's one that brings down, there's the other that lifts up. It operates in parallel with the law of gravity, or the law of lift. Lucifer's ingratitude brought him down. Listen to it again. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou what? Fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou caught again what? Down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation. Fall down. The only way for ingratitude is what? Down. Apostle Paul tells us a similar thing about a certain set of people in Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to verse 24. Reading from the New King James Version. Let me read it. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to verse 24. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify God, did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Are you seeing it? They were not thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to what? Uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. This thing I read now, does it sound like promotion? Let me paraphrase it. Maybe it was too long. Because although they knew not God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Their thoughts became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. God gave them up to uncleanness. Ingratitude led to a downward spiral for these people that is described in Romans chapter 1. It is good for us to know that we have an adversary, the devil, who knows that ingratitude pulls down and gratitude lifts up. He knows that ingratitude decreases. He knows it. And he knows that gratitude increases. So what does he do? He always places suggestions in our hearts that will make us tilt towards ingratitude. Can't you see all of your mates? You've moved forward. Only you are here. With all the prayers you have prayed, all the vigils you have attended, can you not see that God is slow to work for you? Meanwhile, some people, before they lift up their voices, He has answered them. Can you not see? Can you not see? And then you begin to say, Abi, Shebi, oh, now wow. Even this God self, me, I don't even understand them again. That is how he does. He keeps on making those suggestions. One of the major strategies is for him to constantly bombard us with negative thoughts. have tend to produce ingratitude. And there's no time of the year where those negative thoughts have preeminent place than December. Because December is the month of stock taking. So much hope and expectations for the year. But see where I've landed. It's remaining 23 days. What can God do in 23 days? Ah, you don't understand. God does not need 1 hour to change your life. He does not need 1 minute. The devil does not want you to know the truth. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 21, that all things are yours. Ephesians 1:3 says, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God is not making new blessings for you and I. He has already blessed us. The only thing is for us to position ourselves to receive what he has already given. It's our position that is the problem. And oftentimes, what positions us to receive is a heart of gratitude. Constantly, the devil wants you to see your cup as half empty rather than half full. You know there's a difference now? When your perspective in life is about this cup is half empty and this cup is half full. Half full means it's filling up. Half empty means it's going down. May God never give us that mindset of half emptiness in the name of Jesus. The devil does not want us to focus on what God has done and what God is doing. He wants us to focus on what God has not done. The devil does not want us to know that gratitude is the path to establishing that victory. The path to establishing all kinds of blessedness that God has endowed us with. He definitely does not want you to know that thanksgiving is ultimately for our own good and not for God's good. Do you understand that? God said if you will not praise him, in fact, he said if you will not praise him, he will make the stones to praise him. So he does not need you to praise him. So if you praise him, it's for your own benefit. How do you know that leaf that is shaking outside that you go now, can you hear the language of the leaves? You can't. How do you know that leaf is not praising God? Morning to night, ceaselessly, they are waving, they are praising. God does not need you and I to praise him. When we praise him, it is for our own good. God is looking for an excuse to lift someone up. May you be that person.
Amen.
May I be that person.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
David, under the old covenant, understood this very well. David fought more wars than any other king in Israel. Any other king. And he never lost a battle. Never. Because he understood this. That is why he's called the sweet psalmist. The sweet psalmist of Israel understood this. That gratitude and thanksgiving releases the power of God for victory. This was one of his secrets. And we hear him exclaim in Psalm 34. Psalm 34 verse 1. What did he say? He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. He also unselfishly wants us to have the same experience. And he goes further to tell us in Psalm 34 verse 3. He said, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You know, it was just like Paul who said, imitate me as I imitate the Lord Jesus. David understood this, what praise and thanksgiving does. And he said, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now you, magnify the Lord with me. Follow me to do the same thing so that you can get the same result that I'm getting. That's why I say he's unselfishly told us what he's doing. To magnify is to make bigger. Brethren, clearly we cannot make God bigger. But he can be bigger to us and our circumstances as we magnify him in thanksgiving. Do you understand that? Whenever you have a problem, a challenge, challenge that looks so big and so insurmountable, and you begin to magnify God, what happens? God begins to grow bigger and bigger. And what does he eventually do? He overshadows that problem, that the problem begins to look smaller and smaller. And when God takes the preeminent position in your heart, that problem no longer catches your attention, what has happened? That problem has been dealt with. David's God was clearly bigger than the God of the whole of Israel put together when Israel was confronted with Goliath. Was it not clear? The whole nation, Saul, the soldiers, everybody, they were afraid. One man said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? The God in his heart was bigger than all of Israel put together, the God that they believed in. And that was why he was able to overcome Goliath. Today and always, brethren, no matter what comes your way, don't let a word, don't let a thought of thanks be far away from you. Does that make sense? Don't let it be far away from you. Magnify him above all of the negative circumstances that you are confronted with. For God has indeed done great things. If God has not done great things for you, you will not be seated here today. So you must bless him and bless him continually. And how do we do that? Give thanks in everything. We spent 3 months talking about this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Says, in everything. When you read the Bible, please take every word as important. Because God is not frivolous. The Holy Spirit that inspired the writing of the Bible is not frivolous. Is not careless. He says, in everything. I'm sure it still does not make sense to certain people here. How can God say in everything? In everything, give thanks. For that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We are told to, what we are told in essence is to, how do I put it? To keep the switch of thanksgiving on. You know, you can switch it on and switch it off. To keep it on always. It's a switch. So, When darkness seems to be overcoming you, what do you do? Switch on thanksgiving. Switch it on. Switch it on. The psalmist in Psalm 22 verse 3 reminds us that God dwells in the praises of his people. God dwells in the praises of his people. God dwells in the praises of his people. So I am facing a major challenge and I begin to praise God and thank God. What does that mean? What does that mean? From what we just read, God dwells in the praises of his people. As I begin to praise him, what happens? God begins to dwell in me. So, what is it that can confront God and defeat God? Is there anything? So, if God dwells in you, what does it mean? God is with you. Which means that that challenge that cannot defeat God cannot defeat you. Does that make sense? So the Bible is telling us that one of the fastest, the quickest, the most assured ways of inviting God into your situation is what? Praising him. Oh, somebody here may be saying, Pastor, but the other day, just yesterday, not far enough, I was praising God, though. And yet, I received the sack letter. Oh, I was praising God, oh, and my wife walked out on me. Oh, I was praising God, oh, and that person I was praying for died. Oh, I was praising God, oh, and change did not come to the situation. What you do not understand is that God sees tomorrow from now. What you see as pain is what God sees as a tool to advance your life. As Daddy Adeboye would say, there are some tenants who would never have been landlord if their landlords did not throw their properties out. The way people are looking at me is like, are you guys with me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. David said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Each one of us must walk through that valley. And the thing that that valley does for us is to mature us. You cannot give a 9-year-old child an inheritance that a 40-year-old person is having difficulty handling. You will kill that child, won't you? That child has to come to maturity to be able to make good use of that inheritance. Some of us are saying, forget it, Pastor. I can handle God's blessings. If God were to give me 1 billion now, I know what to do with it. What I'm telling you is that if God gives you 1 billion, you can't handle it, you will die. I'm telling you, if you can't handle it, you will die. Don't we see it on television? People that what you call blessings became their undoing. Even Nigeria as a nation, we discovered oil too early. The oil has become a curse. Some of you don't know what is inside of you. That there's a kind of blessing you have now. What starts it is, we'll look for you in church next Sunday, we won't see you. Pastor saw somebody. Brother, we have not seen you for 3 months. So what happened? He said, Pastor, God bless me with a Mercedes Benz. That is why he's not in church. Pastor is meetings. I know I have to be in Ikoyi Club to tie these contracts and these deals. Bless him.
You are laughing. But God knows you more than you know yourself. He knows us more than we know ourselves. That is why I said the other day, I respect men and women who have been blessed and yet they are still humble before God. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. Men that you look at, you say, this is what I want to be like. And yet, they are humble. Some of you don't know how much you like women until money comes into your hands. So we are told to keep the switch of thanks and praise on always. Because God dwells in the praises of his people. Now, let me tell you this as I'm rounding up. Did I say that actually? There's still time. You and I know that all things that come our way are not pleasant. True or false? You and I know that we don't always get the outcome of the things we expect. Is there anyone here? Anyone here who can say, I have never been disappointed in life? You're a liar. Nobody can ever say that. Nobody. Not the Pope. Not Daddy Gio. Why? Because disappointment is a part and a fact of life. So, if we must praise and thank God always, showing gratitude and thanks to God at all times is therefore an act of faith. Does that make sense? You guys are cold, oh. That's why sometimes I like those churches, sometimes they overdo it. I will stand up, hey, preach it, pastor. Or this is not the kind of message that they say, preach it, pastor. This is a sober message. Oh, I didn't know, sorry. No one can say you have never been disappointed. So if he says in everything gives thanks, it means that thanksgiving is an act of faith. I have not seen it, but I'm thanking him. I'm thanking him because I know that all things will work together for my good. It may not work the way I want it. The way I want it is by January 2025, they will carry that car and park it in front of my house, brand new Prado. The way I want it is by February, they will hand me the keys to the house in Lekki or Ikoyi. That's the way I want it. The way I want it is that by March, they will give me visa to 20 countries. In fact, when I enter their border, they won't even ask me my name. They'll just say, go on, son. That's the way I want it. But that may not be how God will do it. That is why he says, in everything, give thanks so that God can work it out the way he wants, not the way you want. We walk not by sight, but by what? Faith. The Christian walk is a walk of faith. Can we understand this? So that if you get up from here, God forbid, and a challenge hits you, don't say to yourself, say I just came out of church now. Which can God be this? No. Because that thing happened so that he will weaken your praise. As it happens, say, God, I bless you. Lord, you are too much. That is what God wants. In everything. I was saying last week,
how would it have sounded when the children of Israel got to the banks of the Red Sea, and as they saw the Red Sea in front of them and saw the Egyptian army, rather than them say, God, we tire for you, self, oh. Is it that there are no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to kill us? What if what they had said was, God, look at the Red Sea. Look at the Egyptian army behind us. But God, even though we have been locked in, we know they are too small for you to handle. I'm sure God would have stood up and said, my God, my God, my God. What God did in parting would have been something little compared to what he would have done. And those two spies, out of the 12 spies, demonstrated that. Everybody was saying, we are like grasshoppers, oh. We are like this, oh. They are giants, oh. They said, shut up! Our God is more than able. And you can see that the two of them entered the promise. The rest of them did not. Ingratitude brings you down. Christianity is a walk of faith. People have deceived us too much to think the moment you give your life to Christ, everything will begin to walk up. That is what is affecting us. We have too many weak Christians that God is trying to take through to destiny, but they have refused to cooperate with God. Why was it that the children of Israel, they were leaving Egypt into the promise? It could have taken them 40 days to get there. But God took them 40 years for this same reason. These people cannot handle the promise if they are not matured, if their faith has not grown. It's the same principle again and again and again in Scripture. This maturity is not by age, yo. It's not by age, yo. It's not by age, it's by faith. That's why you see young people do amazing things. They may not talk much, but their belief in God, their standing in God is strong. That is why David continually gave thanks. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Paul also continually gave thanks and encouraged us to do the same. You know, Paul is in a good position to talk to us. A very good position. You know, there's this thing called empathy. If you have not gone through certain things, you cannot counsel people on those things. Does that make sense? I'm telling you now, if I'm broke, you bring Dangote, the richest man on earth, in Africa, and you bring Prince Williams or Prince Harry to come and counsel. So choose the one that will counsel you. Okay, no, let me not even say Dangote. Dangote has seen poverty now, has he? Because he has not much. Okay, so let me say Prince Harry, Prince Williams, and who is the person that has gone through the grind and came out? Let me take Koscharis, and say, please, come and talk to me. I don't know how to handle this state of brokenness, oh. This state of woo. Is that what they call woo? I need somebody to talk to me. And I say, okay, Prince Charles, come and counsel me. What would they tell me? They'll just be saying sorry. Ekpele, sorry, oh. Sorry, oh. No vex, sorry, oh. The Bible tells us that Paul, working for God, wanting to promote the kingdom of God, was unjustly beaten. He was bound and locked in prison. See, all of us think that when you are serving God, the way will be free. Eh? He was working for God. He was propagating the gospel. You should have thought at least God should fight for him now.
The Bible says he was unjustly beaten. He was bound. He was locked in prison. Paul and Silas could have justified complaining. They had every reason to what? Complain. They, however, saw the power of God manifest as they did what? As they praised and as they sang to God. Sometimes let's put ourselves in these people's shoes. We all, we do it, we say it. God, I'm serving you now. Why is this happening to me? It may be a good prayer. But God is not blind. God knows what he is doing. Paul and Silas did not take that route. But rather, as they beat him, as they flogged him, as they imprisoned him for the cause of the gospel. He did not throw a pity party. Rather, he threw a praise party. People are listening to me, Abby. What was a pity party? God, what is going on here now? God, have you forgotten me? God, what have I done? God, I thought I was serving you now. God, what's going on? God, you should lift me up now. God, you should fight for me now. No, he didn't do that. Like a madman, he started praising God. God, you are too much. God, we count ourselves worthy to be suffering for you. Oh, Father, thank you for this privilege. We feel honored. Are you hearing? If you see somebody like that today, you say, this is not real. But God lifted them through that. Is somebody listening to me? Acts 16 from verse 23. It gives us an insight. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's, not Paul and Silas's chains, but everyone's chains were loosed. The reason that they went into prison was to sing for the prisoners to hear the praise of God. And when they heard the praise of God, what happened? The chains that bound them. You are thinking of physical chains. We are talking of spiritual chains. The chains that bound them were loosed. Addiction that we talked about today that took them into prison was loosed. Sexual immorality that landed them into prison, the chain was loosed. Compulsive stealing and pilfering that landed them in prison, that chain. How many of you don't know that these things are spiritual? When you steal what you don't need, it's the devil that has held you now. When you talk more than you should talk, and that talk put you in prison, it's the devil now. All the chains were what? Loosed. So God takes you through for others to have freedom. And you say that man's life is not blessed, but he understood it. We usually don't understand it. They knew that giving thanks and praising God was a vehicle that brought his presence and power on the scene. They magnified God above their troubles. So praise not only magnifies God, praise magnifies our spiritual position and union with God. Praise and thanksgiving brings us into fresh levels of intimacy with God. Does that make sense? I wish some of you, or most of you, were at the prayer meeting yesterday when Sister Okwe was exhorting.
in the prayers? Intimacy with God.
Praise transports us into the realm of the supernatural and therefore into the power of God.
You know, there are many expressions of praise, though, and God accepts all of those expressions as long as it is done in faith. There's an expression of praise that requires us clapping hands, that requires us singing, that requires us worshiping, that requires us crying. All those are expressions. But there are other expressions. Other expressions of not allowing depression to fall into your heart. Other depressions of you affirming the word of God, even though you are in a terrible situation. Those are all expressions. Expressions of defying what is before you and say, my God is able. Those are expressions of praise. Expressions of not allowing discouragement to set into your life. That is an expression of praise or thanksgiving. So it's not only when you stand and you put on music or you begin to sing that is thanksgiving or praise. There are different expressions. Defying the devil is an expression. Is somebody hearing me? God accepts all as long as it comes from a heart of praise. Church, are you hearing me? From a heart of faith, sorry. Brethren, whatever you do, and wherever you are, my admonition to you this morning is keep the switch of praise. Keep the switch of thanksgiving. Keep it on. Keep it on. Keep it on. Sometimes by default it goes off, but always be conscious that no matter the situation I face, my reasonable reaction to this situation is what? Praise and thanksgiving. That is how you switch it on. It may be difficult, but begin by the simple words, God, I praise you. God, I know you are more than able. God, I know you are bigger than this situation. God, I know you are the helper of the helpless. God, I know you will give me victory. God, I know you have spoken, but your word will not return to you empty. Just speak those words. As you speak them, faith begins to grow in you. It does not work by magic. That is the way it works. That is why the scripture says, in everything. God said in everything, but he did not mean this fight I had with my husband last night. Oh. He did not mean that one. That one is different. That one is a different level of everything. He meant everything, oh. But did not mean this thing that my boss told me just now. The words he spoke to me did not mean that one. This one is a different category of everything. No. He says, in everything. A young man who had invested so much in leaving the country and going to Canada to go and further his studies, and just leave the country. In spite of all of the preparations on Friday, received a letter from the Canadian embassy that they are not approving his application because they feel he will not return to the country. I'm forwarded the letter. What do I do? Maybe a smart young man that he asks, what do I do? Because before he asks, what do I do? You know what the devil is suggesting to him? Devil is already telling him, you are a failure. You are no good. You are never good at anything. Even common application for visa, you can't even get. Just go and kill yourself. Just go to Tedmanland Bridge Park and jump into the lagoon. That's what the devil is saying. What do I do? I said, appeal. Ask the university to defer your admission, or try again. Don't feel discouraged. Don't feel discouraged. Thank God, for God knows what he's doing.
Have you heard the story of Rockefeller? I'm not even sure is it Rockefeller? Benjamin Franklin. Which one again? That president. Is it president? Contested for councilorship. He failed. Contested for local government chairman. He failed. Contested for House of Assembly. He failed. Contested for governorship. He failed. Contested for House of Reps. He failed. Contested for Senate. He failed. He became running mate for vice president. They failed. He contested for president, Abraham Lincoln, and became president. That's a human being like you and I. For some of us, we would have gone back to the village. Now, this thing is not for me, and it's not for, you know, there are people it's meant for, not for us. There's no point. Village, here I come. You carry your portmanteau. In that kind of going to village, it's not box to carry, it's portmanteau. You just go and say, this is my lot. Let me just be farming. I mean, that is what I was created for. I'm not saying farming is not good, though. But look at it. This is the story of human beings that walk through this earth. That's why John Maxwell wrote a book, Failing Forward. When you fail, your failure can move you forward. Don't let it discourage you. Because God is at work. God is at work. And the only way to keep on that track is what? Gratitude. Gratitude is saying, God, I don't understand what is going on. Some, we need to be honest now. Why are you doing Superman for God? You are doing powerful for God when he knows you. All he has asked us is just an expression of faith. God, I don't understand what is going on in my life. I don't understand it. Because if I say I understand it, I'm lying. My world is upside down. I don't understand it. But God, I know you know what you are doing. I don't understand it, but you know what you are doing. Can you see the kind of words you can express to God? And God will rise up from his throne and say, I will see to it that you succeed. Not when things are going bad. This world is not my own. I am just passing through. I can feel at home in this world. No, that is not it. It's sweet to sing those songs when you are in such a situation. It's very sweet. It makes you feel good. It makes you... Angels are already beckoning on him to come and join them on the other side. It feels good. But I'm telling you, God wants you to take the opposite stand. It feels good when you are going through such things. People are coming to party, and you are crying the more. If only they knew. That's what the devil wants. Imagine when such terrible things are happening to you. You are dancing. Even the devil will say, this one I weary. This one I don't understand them. Make I leave him alone. He will leave you alone. He will leave you alone. It's when you are doing, hey, oh, you don't kill me. Oh, hey, oh, the pain is here. He said, he's walking. Oh, yeah, you will come. Oh. Let's deal with him well. He's walking. Oh, yeah. Do you know that the devil does not have pity? You guys don't understand. The devil, his ministry is the ministry of pain. So when you are begging him, don't. He says you are wicked. He's like last month official that hosts you on Friday. And you are saying, please, well, I know I took one way, but forgive me. He's saying you are wicked. He has told the wife that when I come back, that soup you want to cook, I will bring the money. And you are telling him, I beg. He says you are the wicked person. He hope there's no last month special here. because the truth, they are wicked. Particularly on Fridays. Or a policeman that hosts you on Friday. There's no need to beg. Just say, oh yeah, carry me, they go. Just carry me. No need to beg. You can't beg the devil.
As you are feeling pain, he's getting fatter and fatter. He's getting more and more nourished. His joy is getting fulfilled.
May God give us wisdom.
Amen.
May God give us wisdom.
Amen.
May God give us understanding.
Amen.
To understand that ingratitude brings down and gratitude lifts up. May we, all the days of our lives, express gratitude in every situation and circumstance that we find ourselves. Can we rise to our feet? No matter what 2024 brings, also know that you have the God of the 11th hour miracle. God may choose to do it this year, 2024. He may choose to push it to 2025. What is important is that God gives you life. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For as long as there's life, there's hope. God will do it. Can you turn to somebody and say, God will do it. God will do it. Yes, that's better. That's better. God has done it. I'm only waiting to see it. God has done it. I'm only waiting to walk in the manifestation of the blessings of God in the mighty name of Jesus. If you are here and you have not received Jesus Christ into your life, into your heart, as your Savior and as your Lord, God wants to bring you into his family to share this inheritance of the blessings he has positioned us for. So if you do not know Jesus, you have not accepted him, I want to encourage you, lift up that hand so that the fullness of God's grace will rest upon your life. So that you will not be anxious for anything. You will know that you have a God that has your back, that covers you, that fights your battle, that will go the extra length to ensure that you fulfill destiny. Is there anyone here who's saying, Jesus, I have not come to know you? If you know you, if you drop dead now, you are not sure you will make it to heaven. You are the one I'm talking to. Just wave that hand. There's nothing to be ashamed about. God bless you, my brother. Just wave that hand. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Me, I took that decision on a particular day. And here I am standing. And I have no regrets that on a particular day, I took a decision for Jesus Christ. I have a feeling there's still someone else who needs to make this. This decision is a critical life and death decision. Life and eternity decision. If you are here, you do not know Jesus Christ. You have not accepted him. I want you to just lift up that hand. He says, if you will deny me before men, I also will deny you before my Father in heaven. If you are ashamed of men and you will not take a decision that is for the betterment of your destiny, when the time comes, Jesus says, I will deny you when I come before my Father. So it's a wonderful thing. It's the best decision of your life that you are taking, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. So one more time, I want to ask, if you are here and you know you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your Lord, please lift that hand. I'm begging you for your own good. One more time, lift that hand. My brother, please, can you come forward? Can we clap for Jesus? Congratulations. Are you listening to me? This is the best decision of your life. I'm not telling you because you have taken this decision when you walk out of here. ₦1 million will be paid into your account. No. But God will guide you and give you peace that passes understanding. You will be able to come before God and tell God what you want. And God will tell you, this is the way I want you to go. Okay? But the peace of God will never leave you. And that is what we all need. There are people who have money, but they don't have peace. I would rather have peace and not have money. But God will give you peace and will give you everything you want that will make your life joyful. in the name of Jesus. Okay? So one of the things I want to encourage you to do regularly is be in church regularly. Through fellowship, we get better, we get stronger, we grow. If you were not in church today, you wouldn't have heard, and you would not have been able to take this decision, which is a lifetime decision. Come to church regularly. Read your Bible every day. Do you have a Bible? Okay, we'll make arrangements for you. Brother Adebowale, is he here? Okay. One of the things you will do for me when you come to church next Sunday, remind me of the Bible. I'm sure we would have made it available for you. All you do every day, just open the Bible. You may not be able to read 3 chapters or 2 chapters, maybe even 1 chapter, I don't know. Eh? But the Bible is God's love letter to me and you. Okay? So when you open it every day, say, God, please talk to me through your Bible. Eh? And God will speak to you. Even if it's 1 verse or 2 verses, God will talk to you, tell you what he wants, how he wants you to live. The third thing is talk to God every day. Talking to God is prayer. Talk to God. Tell God your heart. Tell him what you want him to do. Tell him how you feel. And tell him that you love him and you want to serve him better. Okay? So 3 things. Come to church. Read your Bible. Talk to God. Okay? Before you know it, you become a giant in the faith. Okay? So shall we pray? Pray after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for me and save me from destruction. Today, willingly and wholeheartedly, I accept and receive Jesus Christ into my life and into my heart to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you, Father, for old things have passed away and all things will become new, beginning from now, in Jesus' name. I declare by faith, I am born again. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for my brother, your son, who has taken a decision for you. I pray, O Lord, as he has set his hands on the plow, for the rest of his life, he will never look back. When you return, you will find him. Lord, help him to fulfill destiny. Let his light shine brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Every help that he needs to stand strong, to remain steadfast, Lord, provide for him in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please don't rush away.